This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Imperfect Foods, Grove.co, and BetterHelp. We're happy to have them on board making the show a possibility. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show
you. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Thank you.
Woo!
Yes!
Jamie, this week's Valentine's Day.
I know it.
I have to say this about Valentine's Day.
What?
Hate it.
I know.
Do you like it?
No. Well, here's the thing. We haven't done anything for Valentine's Day. I don't even know how long.
Oh my God, I know.
But my friend at work was like, all right, let's figure out what we're doing for our Valentine's Days. And she made us like plan out things. And I still have no, we had a whole conversation over beers, obviously. I have no idea what we planned, but it was epic. It was going to be epic.
Hopefully she wrote it down for
you. Spouses.
Okay, great. Well, I never liked it because when I was younger, I was like always like a single loser. And so then it just made me feel bad about myself. Then I found Mary and we both were like, it's stupid. It's a forced holiday.
That's how Anne and I are. Like,
and then now I have kids and all I feel like Valentine's Day is like going out and buying 40 expensive, ridiculous paper cards that I have to put together and stick a lollipop through. And check off their list of names.
I had that realization because we were.
That's what I'm remembering right now. I didn't do it yet.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking. We had a play date yesterday. I had three of Rose's little friends over. And as they were leaving, Rose brought up Valentine's Day. And are we going to have cards? Are we going to do. And I had that, like, I had a sinking feeling in my belly, like, man.
It drives me crazy.
We got to get the car. We got to do the cars.
Our school has some no candy thing.
Oh.
So it's like I'm getting pencils and erasers. Oh, yeah. It's like, you're going to make me spend $100 for nothing.
No, and my kid is just learning to write. So I have to sit there with her while she writes these things out. R-O, you know?
I will. No, you know what I started doing?
D. You write it down for her?
No, I started doing, I make the kids make one. Uh-huh. Each and I photocopy it at work, and then they like handcraft
so
it. No, but then they handcraft it, and then photocopy it at work, and then we tape some kind of like something to it.
Oh my god! Yeah. We just finished her thank you cards from her birthday, which was in December. Now we got to do the Valentine's cards. We got to start. We got to get going.
Oh god! All right. Well, this is, if you're wondering what we're doing this week, it's that me and Jamie like crash course that. So before we get to our episode.
Happy Valentine's to you.
Oh, sure. For
it.
The people who like it, great. Good luck out there.
I could use a massage. I could use that.
If anyone wants to send us one,
please
we'll take
do.
Gift certificates over at talk.com. I'm just kidding. Not kidding.
No, not kidding. Not at kidding all. At all. Anyway.
So before we get to the episode, I do just want to say that I don't think we talked about this last week, but we put two really amazing videos in our Patreon community that were from Stacey and Chin.
Oh.
Well, the romaine videos were good too. Those were raunchy. But the Stacey and Chin one, like one is her reading her Donald Trump poem.
Oh my God, that poem is fire.
Right? Jamie and I just sat and stared at her during that whole time. We were just like, what?
Oh my God. So
she was so powerful to be in the
And when she speaks it, and when you amazing. See her even speaking it, she has so much power.
I know. I love her whole. Anyway, that content is over at our Patreon.
I say Patreon. She says Patreon.
I think you're right. I'm wrong, but I can't stop saying Patreon. It's like my upstate New York.
I think she said Patreon. Patreon. That's how I read Pinkalicious. You know those books? Oh. Pinkalicious. She has a voice like this when I read it to my daughter, and we only read it like that. Because I can't stand the books.
So it's patreon.com/overstock.
Oh, God. We are a mess.
So it's patreon.com/overstock if you want to join our community. There's lots of stuff happening there. Lots of videos. Really cool stuff. Okay.
Oh, that's
let's get
problem.
To this week.
This is a problem. Oh, my God. This week, two listeners reached out to us.
No. First, somebody wanted the topic.
Oh, right.
We got a bunch of people who wanted this topic, which was...
So a couple, this is so hard to explain even, a couple who one of them used their brother as the donor.
Right. So one person's eggs, the other person's sibling.
Yes. So basically the bio dad is also technically
the
uncle.
And the kids are fully genetically related to both parents.
Which is lesbian dream.
Yeah.
So a lot of you wrote in and said you wanted to talk to a couple who had done this. And this is the first. The first people we heard who had done it.
Yeah, we found Kelsey and Alexis.
And their sisters. And it's their mothers who did the donor.
Yeah, who did it.
Who did it. I don't even know what do you say? Like,
like a reciprocal IVF with the brother.
A scientific term for this. There should be a term.
Somebody write in with the term for
this. Somebody make up a term for it when you use your brother to
Wait, I know what it, oh,
your
actually,
wife.
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's called when you use your brother. I couldn't even get through it.
It's calm. But are you
using your brother as a donor?
Your Pinkalicious voice is a little off.
What I'm doing is 1940s movies.
Okay. Anyway.
Alrighty then. Let's wrap this up.
Okay,
let's get in Kelsey
it's
and Alexis.
These two sisters, they're so delightful. I'm giving away the baby with the bathwater. Yeah. Let's just bring them in.
I don't think that's really a saying.
All right,
Kelsey
totally
and Alexis.
It's totally a saying.
What's half a saying?
Play about it. Right. Kelsey and Alexis, get in here. Hello there.
Kelsey and Alexis.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for videoing in. It's nice to see you.
Yes. Where are you guys? What state are you in?
We are in the beautiful state of California, in sunny San Diego.
Oh, nice. I love it.
So, you two, we are doing our new 30-second elevator pitch. Are you ready to tell us about yourselves in 30 seconds? Who's going to go first?
The pressure's on.
I'll go first.
Kelsey's going first.
All right,
okay.
Kelsey. Okay. On your mark. On your mark. Get set. Go.
So my name is Kelsey, and this is my sister, Alexis. The two of us, we have two moms, and my mom's brother is our father. And it's not incest. Great pitch. That's kind of how I've introduced it my entire life growing up. I've always been like, I have two moms and my brother's, or her brother is my dad.
That's
yep,
time.
30 seconds.
Wow. That was amazing. I think you could have stopped at, and it's not incest. Boom. Right? That's like mic drop moment. That was good.
So yeah. So basically we have two moms who obviously they are not related by blood. They're related by love. And, and one of our moms has a brother who is related by blood to that mom. And he donated his sperm.
Well, so around that, I feel like the elevator pitch for you is probably something you've had to work on your whole life. Because, you probably had to tell people, like, how to describe your family quickly and easily. Has that been hard?
Yes. Well, not hard. I'm responding yes to it is, I agree with you, but it's not been hard. We were just talking the other day about how usually when you decide that you want to tell someone that you have two moms, the next question is something like, how does that work? What do you call them? Or if they're cool with it, then the next questions are usually, what do you call them? And how did that work? What did you do? How are you related? So it's something that you end up getting to refine and
so you have to tell it.
Grow up.
Yeah.
And do you choose who you tell the whole story to and who you like, do you, cause sometimes like the guy at the bodega, I'm not going to say my wife, you know, like sometimes I pick and choose who I tell. Do you do that?
For me, it depends on the situation. In casual conversation, if someone was really paying attention, they would notice that I only ever reference my mom because when I'm talking, I'll either say, my mom this, my mom that, my mom that. Or I'll say my parents.
Yeah.
Instead of like my mom and dad, I never say that because I don't have any reason
to. Right.
That'd be weird.
But I usually won't say my mom's just because if someone picks up on it and I don't want to talk about it, then it's like just, it's a whole thing that I don't want to get into sometimes.
Yeah.
But if it's like, if it's relevant to the conversation and I feel like it's cool to tell someone, then I'll be like, yeah, my mom's. By the way, I have two moms.
But so it's almost like it's twofold, though. You have to come out as having two moms, and then you have to come out as having a sort of different way that your family was created. Because it's not like, I would say more often than not, people have used either a known or an unknown donor, like a sperm bank or, you know, although it's a known donor.
Have you met other children of two parent families who used a uncle or an aunt? I'm trying to phrase this in the...
I think it would be just an uncle, right?
Or, well, I guess or it could be... If it was two dudes.
Yeah, it could be an aunt.
It could be an aunt. Right? I've never met anyone who has done it the way that our family is. I remember the first time that I actually met another kid who had like two same-sex parents, I kind of felt like, this was when I was younger and like my family was part of my identity. So I kind of felt like, what the heck, this isn't my special thing anymore because there's another kid who also has two parents.
Because it made you feel special.
Yes, it did make me feel special. Because like when we were younger, we'd always say like, oh, we have like two parents. And growing up, our elementary school, like for me and Alexis, we would be with the same group of kids. So for me, like I didn't really have to start quote unquote coming out to other people until like around high school, because that's when I started meeting other people who weren't familiar with our family.
Right.
Oh, you're not the first person who's told us that, though.
Which part?
Well, we heard Romaine's daughter had like a moment when there was another another kid who had two moms. She came home and she was so pissed.
Like, yeah, she said she didn't feel special anymore.
Yeah, so that's interesting that it's like a special fuzzy, warm, fuzzy thing for you and not the other way around. I like that. But how far apart in age are you guys?
We're 2 years apart. Well, basically 2 years.
Who's older?
Alexis is older.
I couldn't tell.
I could tell.
I could tell.
Because she would do the way she corrected her.
Oh, look at that.
Older she corrected her like a big sister.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
big
my God.
Sister. I love it.
You did a little bit of like, actually, that's what you meant to say was. Also, you're grounded. You came with that tone. I loved it. Jamie, nobody's perfect.
I mean, speak for yourself.
Oh, jeez. As I was saying, none of us are perfect. But why do we expect our food to be? Jamie, I don't know if you knew it, but billions of pounds of food gets left in the field, ends up in stranded in warehouses, or it gets thrown away every year. And that's what I think is really cool, that Imperfect Foods is here to change.
Ooh.
Imperfect Foods is the only food delivery service that buys the perfectly nutritious and delicious foods that grocery stores can't be bothered to sell. And they deliver them to you at a discount so you can save money and help reduce food waste.
I mean, this is such a great idea. Imperfect Foods gets their food directly from farmers who are committed to quality and delivers these delicious Imperfect groceries to you for, listen to this, up to 30% less than grocery stores.
Oh my God, you know I love a good 30% reduction.
I know you do.
And I just got a box with kale, and I'm making kale chips like it's my job.
Get it, girl.
Also, by the way, we got like turnips and these amazing, awesome, huge carrots.
We got like
a root medley.
Yeah, it's nice.
It was so good. My kids ate root medley.
That's amazing. We got the box when my 2-year-old was there, and he was taking everything out of the box. He's never seen a pear before, so he's even learning about produce. Who knew? But you know what's beautiful? Imperfect Foods' flexible plans let you pick healthy seasonal produce alongside grocery staples. So along with quirky looking but delicious produce, you're also going to get surplus coffee, discolored quinoa, off-sized eggs, slightly scarred almonds, and much more.
We're slightly scarred, Jamie.
Once again, speak for yourself.
Listen, if this isn't enough to convince you, read about Imperfect Foods in the Times, Bloomberg, Forbes, or ask any of their 200,000 satisfied customers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're making a difference in the world, and guess what? Also in my house.
Love that for you.
Thank you.
So, you know, guys, start saving time, saving money, and saving waste right now. Because when you go to imperfectfoods.com/ovaries, now through February 16th, you'll get $10 off your next four orders. That's a total of $40, Robin.
Amazing. Just go to imperfectfoods.com/ovaries, and you're going to get 10 bucks off your next four orders.
I'm going to say this one more time. imperfectfoods.com/ovaries and enter ovaries at checkout. $10 off the next four orders.
Get it. Boom. Be imperfect like Jamie and I.
I mean, speak for yourself.
So you say you never really had to come out in elementary school. Like my 6-year-old is getting so many questions right now, like from her friends, like her BFFs, like, how come you only have two moms? Or asking me, how come Rose has two moms? Did you marry a woman? Like, all these questions are coming out. You didn't have anything like that? Like, the kids asking questions and you, like, trying to figure out how to answer?
If we did.
Was it easier for you because you were second?
Yes. Right. Most of a lot of things in my life, like, growing up have been a little bit easier because I'm the second. And because Alexis was, like, the test where she went through all the teachers first. So they met our family first through her.
Right.
I had friends through Alexis, but I don't really remember that. So if we did, it wasn't a big imprint on our childhood.
Yeah, I remember it being a topic of conversation, but I don't have any memories of it being particularly like a big deal, I guess. I definitely did. I think I had to explain it more than Kelsey did, but it's not a huge part of my memory of my childhood.
I wonder if it didn't seem like a big deal to you is partly because of the way your moms handled it, maybe?
Yes.
Or how they helped you with the language around it?
I remember that one of our first children's books we had was called, was it Helen?
Heather Has Two Mommies. That's my favorite. I love that book so much. Oh my gosh.
It's a good one.
Yeah, so I remember that was one way that they introduced it to us. And they also, like, from the very beginning, like, we didn't have, like, the sex talk, but we had the talk of, like, how babies are made, like, the scientific, like, this is what happens. And then that was part of the explaining how we were created. And I remember we had that very early on in our lives of, like, there's a sperm and it goes into the egg and then it creates a baby. And without the, like, sex part of it, but just, like, that was the explanation of, like, how we were.
So just so they were telling you right from the get-go, it was always part of your existence.
Yeah, and that kind of, to me, it feels like that's part of the reason why we understood it so well is because it made sense. It's like, scientifically, this is how you make babies, and this is how we have a different family than most people.
So I would want to add, I don't remember that. being the younger sister,
they were tired by the time.
Yeah, I guess.
With you, they were like, just ask your sister.
Yeah, totally.
She has all the info. We're tired.
I will say we definitely read the books less to Orion than we did to Rose.
Oh yeah. I'm always like, Henry, you good? You good? You need anything on the sex? So you got it? Great. Yeah.
I haven't looked at Heather Has Two Moms in a while. I got to bring that one back out.
It's a great book, but the way that I think I learned that how other people perceive the word gay was I was, like, playing in the neighborhood, and a lot of the kids in our neighborhood were my age. Like, Alexis was one of the older kids in our neighborhood. And so we were, like, playing at one of our neighbor's houses, and one of the kids said to me, like, oh, your moms are gay. And like, I didn't know what that meant, but he was saying it. I remember him saying it in a really mean tone. Mm-hmm. And so I kept on like rebutting him, like, no, they're not. They're not gay. Like, I don't know right. what you're talking about. They're not gay. And he just kept on saying, yes, they are. They are gay. And I think I came home crying from mm-hmm. that just because he kept on like being so mean about my parents. Mm. And so that's how I remember learning how other people perceived the word gay when we were younger. I don't really remember your non-sex sex talk.
Well, do you remember when you came home, do you remember the conversation that happened at home around that? How old were you?
I think I was around 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. That's my daughter's age.
Yeah. So where she's getting a lot of questions, like I think kids are starting to pick up on what their parents are saying. Mm-hmm. And I was just picking up on that kid's tone. I didn't understand the words he was using, but I don't remember the conversation we had at home. I just remember the feelings around it.
I mean, obviously your parents were putting stuff in place when you were really young, like reading books and stuff. Mm-hmm. So did you feel like they handled all this well and like as you went up through the ages and all that? Did they continue? Did you feel like supported and that was a conversation that helped as you went up through high school? Because, I mean, I guess I'm making assumptions that you must have had more things than just that one kid when you were 5 saying your parents are gay. Like, you must have had people saying stuff or instances of people not being okay with it or, I mean, maybe not.
Or just people othering you.
So the conversation did go on throughout. The only time, there wasn't a lot of pushback for me. The only other time that I specifically remember someone like directly attacking me was when Prop 8 in around like 2008 for California. Mm-hmm. There, mm-hmm. I don't remember if yes meant against gay marriage or if no meant against gay marriage, but either way, whatever one it was, it passed. And then gay people couldn't get married anymore mm-hmm, in California. Mm-hmm. And so the next day at recess, there was a kid who was a year older than me. And he started taunting me, being like, oh, I bet you're mad that it didn't get passed. Or like, he was just taunting me. And I didn't like get angry at him or yell at him just because I was trying to be the bigger person in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are the really only two instances that people were directly going against me for the way that our family is.
What about you, mm-hmm. Alexis?
Yes, I definitely had a couple moments. Again, they weren't a big part of my memory of my childhood. I had to be reminded of this one when we were talking to our parents the other day. Apparently, there was once, I have this memory of being really good friends with this girl in elementary school, and we were like best friends. And I remember I would go to her house all the time, and I bought her this like Bratz friends, best friends doll. And I like, aww. I had one friend and she had the other friend. And one day I think she might've left it over at my house or something. And I was like, oh, it's an accident. And so I went to school and I went to give her the other best friend doll. And she like pretended that I didn't exist. It was like, all of a sudden we weren't friends anymore. That's my only memory of that incident. And when I was talking to my moms the other day, they were like, well, I think what probably happened is they had a memory of that girl hosting a slumber party. And mm-hmm. it was like a big deal. All the girls were invited and I wasn't invited because I had gay parents and her family was not okay with it. And they didn't, and they thought if I went over, then I was gonna, whatever all the misconceptions
make them
are.
Make them all gay. Yeah.
Make them all kiss and stuff.
Yeah. And so our speculation is that she probably stopped hanging out with me because her parents told her that she's not allowed to hang out with me anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that must have been big for your moms.
Yeah.
I think a lot of things in our childhood, we didn't realize it until later, but they more affected our parents. And for us, we were just mm-hmm. like, oh, they just don't like us or for whatever reason. Right. Like we didn't understand that it was connected to our parents.
In a very weird way, that makes me feel better because it makes me feel like maybe it'll be hard on us, but not as hard on you as we are worried about.
Yes.
In a weird way. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. There's a lot of things that as parents might be interpreted or like the correct way. But for kids, it's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like that's how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not on your radar. Mm-hmm. Like it's on ours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like my kids are 8 and 10 and they're always talking about, they're like, you just can't go do that, mom. Mm-hmm. You just can't go up and tell them to stop. They're like, then they'll be meaner. And then, and I'm just like, well, that sounds awful. And they're like, yeah. They don't seem as affected by it as I mm-hmm. am on their behalf, like my emotional right. scars from junior high. Huh. We can get into that in another episode.
Okay. Please, let's.
The other one I remember is I had a friend in high school whose parents were Mormon. And I only bring this up because that was a specific reason that she was not allowed to hang out with me because it was against their religion for like gay people was against the religion. And so like we were really good friends in high school and like whenever we hung out at school, but she couldn't, we couldn't do anything extracurricular together because she wasn't allowed to like come over to my house or like hang out with me outside of school.
You were like her closet friend.
Yeah, kind of. I think so.
LOL, right? She had a closet friend.
Oh my gosh.
That's so sad.
Yeah, aww. But I mean, I had a lot of other friends and I was able to find people that I really didn't have an issue with. And it's one of those things like, I feel weird saying that I would come out because I myself am not gay. And I don't really, I wouldn't have to come out as like, I identify this way, but I do empathize with the feeling of coming out because when you're talking with people, you have to get a read on how they would react to you saying that before you decide to give them that information. And just growing up, I got really good at figuring out whether they're the type of people that I would want to tell them.
Wow, that's interesting.
Did that in any way guide your friendships?
Oh, yeah.
Like you became a better judge of character? Or?
I think so.
I'm more paranoid.
And I remember in high school, I joined GSA, which is Gay Straight Alliance, because I was like, I want to find other people who are part of the LGBT community, even though I am not, because like I don't identify in that way, but I still identify culturally with it.
Yeah.
Which is something that I learned from an actor that I worked with. I now work in theater. And so I've learned a lot recently about how to like culturally identify with the LGBT community.
I mean, you are a member of this community.
Yeah.
You are. By birthright, you are up in the community.
Yeah, but Jamie, don't you remember when we had the Queerspawn folks, they talked about how the thing they identified with most was the queer community, but yet when they got older, they felt kicked out of the community in a way because they weren't kids anymore, and then they all had their sexuality, which was straight. Mm-hmm. And they didn't
feel as welcome.
And they felt like a little, not as welcomed, but that was like their space. Is that anything that you guys struggle with or?
I have thought about it, but I haven't faced it. Like I have never had someone part of the LGBT community come to me and tell me that I'm not allowed to participate because I'm not gay or I don't identify in the same way. Mostly, I think, because I just have really good friends.
Mm-hmm. And you're in theater.
Yeah, too. And so it's kind of like one of those spaces.
You are in the queer space.
You are all queer.
Yeah, so I haven't you're had, I think one. About it a lot, but I haven't had a lot of like problems with it.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Did you know that if every U.S. household switched to a reusable detergent dispenser, we'd eliminate nearly 900 million single-use plastic bottles
in one year.
No, seriously. Introducing, Robin, Grove's Laundry System, which cuts plastic waste by 80%.
Oh, my God. I love that. And I love Grove Collaborative.
Yeah.
And for those of our listeners who don't know, it's this online marketplace that delivers all natural home beauty and personal care products directly to your door, which we all know I love.
We do.
My whole house gets so excited when our box comes.
Of course you do.
I mean, because, of course, I'm getting my Grove Collaborative bath bombs.
Of course.
Of course. Of course. The kids love it. They have their own. We all love the bath. Love it.
So weird. Thanks for telling me
that. Bath bombs are amazing.
But you know what I just discovered? They have a whole essential oils line, which is great. I am loving it. I diffuse that Grove Collaborative organic calming lavender essential oil every night at bedtime.
We love that.
To help the kids get sleepy. And it's working.
We'll do anything to make that happen.
No, yeah. And we are stocked up, like in stock, of my favorite Method Wood floor cleaner. Mm-hmm. That stuff is good. Do you use it? It's good.
I do.
I mean, Grove is the first place you should visit to reduce your dependence on single-use plastics.
Yep.
And that's a goal in my house for 2020. So I feel like we're already winning.
I love it. And guys, with that laundry starter set, which I, of course, just got, you're going to get an ultra-concentrated detergent, reusable glass detergent dispenser, and then a stain remover spray. That's a $30 value, and you're getting it for free.
Love
Grove. I got to say, their detergents smell amazing. You're going to choose from citrus and wood, lavender and rosemary, free and clear, for those of you who like your unscented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for a limited time, you listeners of ours get all of this for free with your first purchase.
Amazing.
With fast and free shipping on your first order, going sustainable has never been easier. Join us and the over 2 million households who have shopped at Grove for their healthy, sustainable home essentials.
So make your laundry more sustainable this new year. Make it a goal, okay, guys? Now, for a limited time, when our listeners go to grove.co/OCT, you're going to get the free 3-piece set from Grove so you can start reducing your plastic waste. Plus, you're going to get free shipping and a free 60-day VIP trial.
Mm-hmm. Go to grove.co/OCT to get this exclusive laundry set offer.
Grove.co/OCT.
Grove.co/OCT.
Go there now.
To go back on the like friend and yeah, getting a read on them. What I would like to do is it would kind of be like a little game that I would play where I would like, and I just, I'll explain, but I would be like meet someone and then I wouldn't tell them outright about my family. And I would try and make people like if they were not for the gay community or like they might have had problems. And I was interacting with them a lot. And then later on, after they already liked me as a person, I would end up telling them like, oh, by the way, like these are my parents. And then maybe they would question like, oh, should I really be so like against gay people? Like, because I really like this person. I really like Kelsey and we're like great friends. Why? Like, I don't know. I just kind of thought that when I was younger, maybe I could change people's minds in that way. But then
by making them see you first.
I mean, I think it worked out good. There was one person, we both did theater in high school. Alexis is the one who has continued her passion into her career. And so we were both in theater in high school. And there was one of the drama kids who later told us that they had changed their mind because of the two of us. So there's at least one person that we know of. There might have been more, but they maybe, I don't know. But yeah, definitely judging, like reading people's character, definitely using language is very important. Like I always say my parents and I'll only say like my mom. And there was a time in my freshman English class where we were writing a biography or something and I ended up saying moms and the like class, I think there's like a cartoon comic about like an English teacher correcting the word moms to be like an apostrophe. But then it's like
apostrophe.
Yeah. But then it's like,
after.
No, actually I have two moms and it's, I'm doing it appropriately. So
you're wrong. You were like win.
Yes.
Score. Thank you very much.
Like bonus points for the appropriate definitely. Apostrophe.
That's amazing.
And yeah. And then just, I still feel part of the community. We definitely, I didn't realize this until we were older, but we definitely grew up around a lot of like gay families. Like a lot of our parents' friends were gay. And like, it just didn't occur to me that other people didn't have that in their lives until I was older. And I learned that some people have never met anyone who into same-sex relationships or is queer or is gay or like never any of that. So
yeah, we grew up with a lot of women in our lives. Just by nature of like our parents were friends with a lot of other like gay women. And also this, it reminds me of a story. I used to think when I was like really young that the fact that I had two moms meant that I had four grandmas. And I have a very distinct memory of telling one of my like neighboring friends, like bragging about the fact that I have four grandmas, which is not true. I only have two grandmas. But I knew my great grandma on one side, so I had three grandmas, kind of. And I didn't. We didn't just like both of our grandparents like weren't in our lives either because they passed early or because they just weren't present. So I only had three grandmas, and I was like, "Oh, the fourth grandma's just I don't know where
she's
she is.
Somewhere
she's
else.
Somewhere."
That's amazing.
Yeah. I love it. So when you guys were at home and you weren't just saying my mom or my parents, what did you call your mom?
So it depended on how we were feeling. If we just were being lazy and we just wanted an adult to pay attention to us or give us love.
To bring you some water.
To bring us some water or like turn off the light.
Just channeling my children.
Or do we just be like, mom, like just shouting out mom into the void. Until one of them.
And hoping one of them.
Yes, until one of them answered. And then if it was the wrong one, we would be like, no, the other one. Or some degree of that.
And in general, we refer
Not
to them
you,
as
the
Mama Kathia and Mama Lori. So,
Okay, so you do the name. Do you remember who came up with that?
So one of our moms is natively from Mexico, so she speaks Spanish as her first language. And in Spanish, you would say mama instead of mom. And so they decided that they wanted that to be the surname to basically be like Mama Kathia, Mama Lori. But then it transferred into just Mama Lori, Mama Kathia.
May I add, I literally just learned this as she said it. So
you are definitely the second.
Definitely the younger child. There's like, in my head, Alexis is the one that decided all of the titles for our parents. Because for our uncle, who is our sperm donor, I was told that Alexis is the one who chose to call him uncle. And so that's why we call him uncle. So I just thought that applied to mom.
Like just
well.
Uncle, not Uncle Bob or whatever his name is? Just
no,
uncle?
It'd be uncle and then uncle. His name as well. So right. Same, okay, got it. Same method applied.
It wasn't, wait, so it wasn't Alexis who decided to call him uncle or it was?
In that case, I actually don't remember. I probably decided when they approached him and asked him if he would be willing to be a sperm donor. He said yes, he was all for it. And he said, they can call me whatever they want. They can call me dad, they can call me uncle. Mm. Like, it's up to you guys how you wanna like approach the situation. And I don't have any memory of making that decision, but I might've been the one who decided that he was my uncle. I do remember as a kid, whenever like fathers, like in school, in elementary school, sometimes you'll do crafts for Father's Day. Like you'll make a little thing that's like, like your hand, trace your hand and then draw on it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And, turkey.
I just got a big dad. It says dad. And it's a poem about dad. There is no dad in the picture. Not a dad anywhere, nice. But we got one.
Well, for those crafts, I didn't want to feel left out. So I would make them for him. But it was just because I knew that he was like biologically my dad. I never thought of him as anything other than an uncle.
Yeah.
So in that respect, I probably did determine the relationship just because that's how I always referred to him. And then Kelsey just probably followed suit.
So around that, like you just touched on something. So it's like we talk about, you know, having open donors in case our kids want to meet their biological father. Weird is the wrong word, but is there anything around the fact that those two relationships are collapsed into one, that he is an uncle and your donor, or is he just your uncle?
Well, there is a little bit of weirdness, I think, sometimes. Sometimes there's I don't really know how to phrase it, but there's a confusion in how we want to define other relationships. Like he has his own daughters with his now ex-wife, but at the time he had a son and a daughter.
We have half siblings who have children.
Right. Half siblings.
Yeah. So we've always, growing up, we always referred to them as our cousins, but when they had kids, there was a question of, are we going to be the kids' aunts or are we going to be the kids' second cousins? And we're still figuring that out.
I mean, because there's like the biological answer and then there's the social answer. Yes.
But then you can also, you know, you can make up your own. Like my cousin is like my sister anyway, and her kids call me auntie. So, you know, I mean, even every family makes up their own relationships too. Like those kids are my nieces. I don't care even if they're my second cousins or whatever.
But when you're filling out forms and things and it's a little more, you know. Like I see it being a little more complicated. Totally.
And it also comes down to how our half sister and half brother, how they want to define the relationship to their and explain the relationship to their kids. Because their kids are still very young and still at the age where they are learning these things. So we're letting them decide how they want to talk about those like relationships. But it's still an ongoing discussion about how we want to be referred to, how they want to refer to us, what we want the relationship to be like.
I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like to Jamie's point, it is like if I think about my cousin or an aunt or uncle, like the relationship is whatever it is. And if like you have those families where maybe the age gaps are really broad and the youngest has a kid and the aunt is a similar age to a cousin, you know, like we're like that kind of thing.
That's exactly what my family, that's my cousin who's like my sister.
And it's like you are defining that relationship. But I guess in my mind, when I think of an aunt or an uncle, I think of them as an older person who is like has a different relationship than a cousin, the kid thing. So it's, but that's all socialized, you know, that's, it's all socialized how you think about it in your particular family.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've never found it weird that my uncle and biological father are the same person. It was more of just whenever I would explain it to people when I was younger, I would end up using like a salt shaker and a hot sauce thing. And just to make sure that like people understood that there was no incest going on. Like that's the only.
Wait, I don't understand the salt shaker and the hot sauce thing. Explain
different
this.
Families.
I mean, I was, those were just the first things that came to my mind. I would just.
That's amazing.
just whatever was.
Who's the salt and
whatever was
hot
just
salt.
On the table would, that's how I would explain it. I was just of a dinner table and what would be like there to grab.
Like the salt is from this family and the hot sauce is from this family and the hot sauce's brother.
That's correct. I would try and use things that were different, like completely different objects, because I felt like if I used a salt and a pepper, those are two, like they look exactly the same and they might. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that the explanation was like crystal clear for whoever I was explaining it to. But now that I'm older, it's much easier to explain because I'm explaining it to older people, to adults, to my peers. It's just it's just a one sentence explanation. Whereas when I was younger and I was a child and explaining it to another child, I would have to go through a lot more steps.
Jamie.
Hang on. I'm just messaging my BetterHelp counselor. And done.
Okay.
Done.
No, but seriously, you need to do that right this second.
Yes. That's the beauty of the counseling and care you get at BetterHelp. Listen, they matched me with Ellen, whom I love. We're like buddies, BFFs, except when she's calling me out on my bullshit. But that's a good thing. And I can message her anytime I want, and she gets back to me pronto. Oh, look, see? I already have a response. Hold, please. Got to read this.
Okay. Enjoy your combo with Ellen. I mean, I'll just be over here waiting to finish the episode, but... But I do actually have to say, while we're talking about BetterHelp, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling that's done securely online. Yeah, and they have this huge range of expertise in their counseling network, which is pretty amazing because that might not be available to you locally. So, I mean, the service is available worldwide.
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
I just rescheduled my session with Ellen. Easy peasy. No holding on the phone. No waiting rooms. My living room therapy session with my cup of coffee awaits on Tuesday. Well, done.
I am glad to have you back. Yeah. I didn't know you were gone still, but fine. Can we get back to the episode?
Oh, did you also know that BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling and financial aid is available? Did you know that? I love it.
Okay. Yeah. It's great. But seriously, the BetterHelp does want you to start living a happier life today.
Yeah. You heard it from Robin, folks. Visit BetterHelp.com/OCT. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health, like me, with the help of an experienced professional.
Oh, and we've got a special offer for If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners.
Boom.
You're going to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/OCT. Now, Jamie, can we go back to the episode, please?
Okay, wait. Yes.
Okay, great.
But what was your relationship like with your uncle growing up? And has it changed? Has it morphed? I mean, go into that.
So we're in California and he's in Texas. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, we're very like far in like geographical distance. And we would really only go and see him every like 5 or so years, just because he was a very like working man, like always working, very busy.
Yeah, it was definitely more of an uncle relationship in that we, just by proxy of not being close to each other, we didn't see him very often. We would talk to him like on his birthday, we'd call him and
Christmas.
he would like call us on our birthdays, sending cards, all that stuff. But we didn't have a super like a close relationship in any other way than like we do with our aunt.
It sounds like he was offering to help your moms out, but he wasn't trying to be like,
100%.
I'm a surrogate father in any way. He was just helping out and then clear that, like, it sounds like there was very clear delineated boundaries that your family was here and he was an uncle.
He's a very good uncle and very good brother.
Yeah, but it wasn't like they set out to say, this is how it's going to be. I think it just, that's how it landed.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And, you know, we've talked a lot about disclosure, about how you've had to talk about it and how you've navigated it in the world. Like, do you disclose these things in two parts, like the two moms as one part, the uncle thing as a second part, and like maybe some people get this half, some people get the whole story, or do you just think of it all as this is my story?
If I'm just talking to someone in passing and I end up sharing that I have two moms, if they don't question any further, then cool, we move on in the conversation. But if it's like a close friend of mine or someone that I trust, then if I haven't already, I will share the like full family story. Well, not full family story, but you know, the Spark Notes version, I guess.
Spark Notes. I love Spark Notes. You guys should write a children's book about
this.
I feel like this is not, I haven't seen a children's book about a donor who's also your uncle/biological father.
We'll shout out the podcast.
Get that in there. So I have to ask this question just because, I mean, obviously this is like such a treat that we get to talk to you because we are two gay moms who...
And by the way, and you can tell we're always just trying to make sure you came out okay because we're worried about our kids.
Exactly.
I feel like we come out super nosy with the kids. Yeah, we're being really nosy. What happened when that happened?
Sorry, and I'm going to be nosy again. So my kids seem to be really obsessed with dads. And I feel like I have a daughter who actually really is... Like I didn't care. I was like, I like my mom, you know, my mom, I got my mom. Like, and it wasn't like, I don't know. So like, I feel like if she had a dad, she would be a daddy's girl. That's how much she is obsessed with dads. Do either of you, did you ever miss not having a dad or did you talk about dads? Did you wonder about dads? Did you hang on dads and call other kids dads, their dad, like my daughter does?
I wonder if because it's known that
that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me.
I think that the fact that we knew who our dad was helped because there were like I was saying with elementary school, when that would come up and it was like having a dad is required to do this activity, then I would just be like, oh, I have a dad. He's just in Texas.
Right.
Like I remember we'd had a father-daughter dance that our school would do every year. And I think I got really, this is a memory that just came to me, but I remember getting really upset that I felt like I couldn't go to the father-daughter dance because he was in Texas.
You were excluded.
And a friend of my mom's ended up taking us to the father-daughter dance instead.
Right.
And it was like, that's fine. Just tell him, if anybody asks, he's your dad. It doesn't matter. Just have fun at the dance.
We do what we want. We do what we want.
And to piggyback off of that, another example of being the younger sister and benefiting. when those father-daughter dances happened, I had that same person who would take me. And I didn't have to have any sadness or any kind of like, oh, like I don't have
You just
dad.
Knew that Joe, your neighbor, takes you to the daddy-daughter dance because he took
Correct.
Alexis.
Right.
And on like Father's, so, you know, like Mother's Day and Father's Day. So for Mother's Day, we just get it all over with because we have two moms. And like almost every year still happens. I forget when Father's Day is. And when I was younger, I would ask my friends, hey, do you want to go like do XYZ? And then they'd be like, no, I can't. It's Father's Day. And I'd be like, oh, right. I have to be bored at home because everyone else is occupied and busy. So I never really wanted a father figure. We were trying to think of like who our father figures like have been in our lives. And for both of us, it's been our softball coaches, because softball has been a like very huge part of our lives.
Because your moms are lesbians.
Softball's also like our family sport. So that may or may not be correlated, but anyways.
Just a slight correlation.
Yeah. So our male coaches for our travel ball teams were very like involved in our lives and they just cared about us a lot. And it just happened to be that they were males. And so if someone like tries to ask us like, oh, like, how did you do without like a male figure in your life? Like, how are you a functioning adult without a male in your life? we just kind of say like, well, we didn't really need that. But if you're asking us to pull someone out of a hat, then we'll choose our softball coaches because those people were very important in our lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of questions about your own sexuality?
No. I remember when I was younger, I remember being worried that other people, like if we were gay or if we, like wanted to be with someone who wasn't a guy, I remember being worried that other people would judge me or my sister because like, oh, the gayness rubbed off on them. And oh, like it's a trait. Like I didn't want to prove those people right.
Right.
When I was younger, if I turned out to be like gay or bi or pan or whatever. So that's the only like memory that I remember being like worried about that. I don't care anymore. Like if whoever I like, I'm going to like them. Mm. So that's what I have.
I definitely remember being like thinking about that, but it didn't feel like any more than what I would see on TV. Most people going through of like people worrying and wondering if you're gay as everyone explores their sexuality when they're a teenager.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like it was abnormal because I have two moms. It felt like the normal thing that happens when you are a teenager.
Yeah, it felt like you were just like, get out of my room, mom, just because you were 17.
Basically.
Yep.
Wow. I'm so like blown away by like you guys just, I mean, you give me hope. You're just seem so wonderful and delightful and not mad at all at your moms. And I think
are you mad at your moms?
Yeah. Did you ever have any period where you were like, guys, really?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, but not because they were gay. Just because.
Good. That's the perfect answer.
That's the best answer.
There were periods where I was like, God, you guys are so annoying. But I feel like it was the normal amount of young person rebelling against their parents.
I feel like your moms have kind of the lesbian mom dream because they are both biologically related to the two of you.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Do you, I guess you wouldn't know because you don't know anything different. So my question is, do you feel lucky that you get to be actually biologically related to both of them?
Yes.
It's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very fortunate in that we are related to, like, everyone in our family that we have, like all of our aunts and our cousins and our uncles, like we look like them, we're like related to them. So I realized again, now that I'm older, how fortunate I am because another question that I'd get is like, oh, like, so you're adopted. Like when I would say that I have two moms.
Right.
And so I'd be like, no, like, of course not. Like if I was asked when I was younger, I'd be like, no, of course not. I'm not adopted. But now I realize like this is a very, very like niche thing that doesn't happen like once
niche.
In a
You're like niche within niche.
Yes.
Did they have to do a second parent adoption? Like did your uncle have to give up parental rights and then your other mother pick them up?
Yes. Yeah, so Mama Kathia carried us. Mama Kathia is our biological mother. And Mama Lori biologically is our aunt. And
right.
When we were born, I think they waited until both of us were born.
Yeah.
We had to ask them for clarification on how they went through the process. But once both of us were born, they went through the paperwork of basically like signing over the adoption process so that Mama Lori could adopt us as our mother. Mm-hmm. And I remember them saying that there was it was a very weird process because back in the 90s when we were born, gay people were not allowed to adopt children. So they had to go through the adoption process and they were told from the beginning that they were going to get denied. And they knew that, but they still had to go through the process. Mm-hmm. And then they had to go to a lawyer who specialized in this subject of gay people adopting children. And the lawyer then took it to a judge and then the judge would sign off on it. And so that's what they had to do so that on our birth certificate, it shows that both of our moms are our parents, but they did have to go through the adoption process.
They had to go through a rigorous.
Yes.
And look at me, I'm still working on mine and it's not even
get
that hard.
Done, Jamie.
I know.
Yeah. It sounds like it wasn't second parent adoption. It was something different. Yeah.
It was case by case. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know the exact specifics. So I'm sorry. I wouldn't be able to tell you, but
yeah, we were small children when this happened. So
yeah, of course. But it's nice that you get to see yourselves in both of your moms and your whole family.
Yeah.
People will tell me that from the nose down, I look like Mama Kathia. And from the nose up, I look like Uncle Timmy. That's really fun.
Yeah.
That's You're amazing.
Like, thanks.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. This was absolutely wonderful, you guys. I thank you so much for sharing your story because it's like we've had a bunch of people who wanted to hear from someone in, you know, whose parents had done what your parents did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the first.
Woo. And we always want the kids to tell us that we didn't screw them up.
You're okay. Is there anything you want to say to folks out there who are curious about how families like ours shake down and like, is there anything you want to say just to the public?
Alexis.
Yeah. To your fans.
This is your fans.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I always want people to know, and as I've gotten older, I've become more of an advocate for this, but I always want people to know that gay people are having kids and it is a thing that is happening and the kids are okay. They are normal kids. There's nothing different and there's nothing odd. Like, everybody has their intricacies of their familial relationships. So I just want more people to know what different families look like. And so I've very recently, like in the past like 5 years, become very vocal about making sure people know that this is happening and it's good. So that's
the, I love
I was very happy when Kelsey I'm found so glad this you- and wanted to do this.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's great. I love that. That makes me so happy. I'm going to cry.
Oh, don't beautiful. Cry, Jenny. Don't cry.
It's beautiful.
Such a wuss. I'm just kidding.
I'm on the same vein as Alexis. Very vocal advocate. Love going to pride parades. I most recently went to the one that was in LA and I wore like a big giant like feather hat. Oh my gosh, I looked amazing.
Yeah, you did.
But anyways, what I really like to do is also just be very vocal that like kids of non-traditional parents turn out just fine, or maybe they don't turn out just fine, but that's not anything related to the parents being gay or anything else. And then I went to like a ally training thing on my campus just because I wanted to have that certification. And there was a question that someone asked where they were like, so when someone is like 5 or 6 or like, and they're realizing that they didn't have like a dad, or they're realizing that they were missing out on like a parent, like, aren't they sad when they like realize that? Like what, like, and so I rose my hand and I was like, hi, I'm a daughter of 2 moms. And I want you to know that whatever you teach your kid, like that's what they're going to feel. Like if you're telling them that not having something means that that you need to be sad, then like, okay, then they'll be sad. But when you grow up and having 2 moms is your normal, then like, that's all that you know. And that's normal for everyone else. And then you know that your friends have a mom and a dad, and you know that some of your friends only have like 1 parent. So like, that's just normal. So just teaching people that families come in all shapes and sizes is like, that's just how it is. And it's normal and it's fine. And so, yeah. So we're both really big advocates. Yeah. And yeah, very woman powered people. Yes. our whole entire household is females, even all of our dogs. They bark when any male comes into the house. but yeah, we're just, it's a great time.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. Just wonderful.
No problem.
You guys are great.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
The kids are all right. I love
you
it.
Were, but you couldn't wait to say that.
I know
you were dying to say that.
You guys are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my god. Thank you.
Oh my god.
I love them.
I love those 2 sisters,
sweethearts.
Sweethearts. I hope our kids turn out that good.
Right. Send a prayer. Send a prayer up to whoever it is. Send
they
it
just
out.
Seemed smart. Kind and like not at all phased by 2 moms.
No.
And that just, that's my hope.
My dream. Don't be
also funny. I want my kids to be funny. They were funny too. So
they were funny.
When we let them talk.
We got to do better at that. Anyway.
There's so many things we have to do better at.
But guys, we're working on that. You work on you.
And do you.
You do you.
But while you're doing you.
Let's keep this conversation going.
Please.
Join us on the social.
At patreon.com/ovariestalk. Also, Ovaries, oh, I'm doing it. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries_talk on Insta, and If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook. And don't forget, we've got that community within our Facebook group that's
join
just
it.
Like a private one where you can chat with other listeners.
Mm-hmm. It's all good. We have to say a thank you to our sponsors, Imperfect Foods, Grove.co, and BetterHelp. Thanks for helping us make this show possible. We really, really appreciate that.
And thank you for fixing Jamie and her craziness, BetterHelp.
Wait.
Can we do our out as our in the voices?
Eggs, ovaries,
out.
Out.
That's my son at last. Okay.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.